could just watch.
We are over the hump. It is the Wednesday edition of the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix. 4 to 6, Brett Rump, Caleb Hatch, and our Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. A lot of texts coming in. We were asking the question in our first hour, what show was must-watch TV for you at some point when you were younger that was a hit show that if it debuted today and had not debuted at the time you watched it, whether it's 15 years ago, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, what show would be a flop today that was must-watch TV for you in your younger years? And I'm looking at Walton's Little House on the Prairie. My wife still watches those like regularly because they're on, what is it, Hallmark Channel or something. Those shows are still on regularly. And my wife loves those shows. What else? Gilligan's Island. Yeah, probably would be a stretch to sell the idea of Gilligan's Island today. You know what show I really liked and it never came back, but it to me it kind of disappeared too soon, and I wish it have stayed on longer, was In Living Color. Did you ever watch In Living Color with the Wayans and young Jim Carrey?
I did not.
J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez, was one of the fly girls. She was one of the dancers on the show. I'm trying to think what the name of Jim Carrey's fire chief character was. But, man, that was a great show. And I think it was only on for maybe a couple of years, 3 years, something. It seems like it came and went so fast. But as far as skit comedy, that was a funny show. Of course, the Wayans brothers were kind of the anchor for that show, and Jim Carrey was part of the cast. 46862, what show did you watch that was a big hit when you were younger, but if it debuted today, would be a complete flop? And, of course, adding to our list of Leave It to Beaver and Father's Knows Best, we also got an I Love Lucy and a Lawrence Welk. Let's just throw Hee-Haw into there, too. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Hoosiers and Boilermakers prepping to return from their bye weeks. They will be playing this Saturday for the Hoosiers. Michigan State comes calling to Bloomington. The Spartans currently ranked in the top 10 in the country. Joel Klatt earlier today on Colin Cowherd and the Herd with here on Fox Sports Radio. He has Michigan State as the 8th ranked team in the country. Polls right now listing Michigan State at number 9. The Hoosiers have a chance for a big win because I think the Hoosiers can compete with the Spartans, especially playing down in Bloomington. I think the Spartans might be one of the most overrated teams right now in the country based on their schedule. Yes, they're undefeated, but they really haven't played anybody. In fact, speaking of not playing anybody, Purdue will go to Iowa. And yes, Iowa got the win over Penn State. Penn State had the loss of their quarterback. I think that impacted the final result. Iowa, right now, number 2 in the country. Listen to this schedule. They're number 2. Here's what's interesting, Caleb, is how do you deal with Iowa if you are to get to the end of the season and Iowa wins out, they get to the Big Ten championship game, and they end up against an Ohio State team that's also ranked in the top 4 at that time, because I think they would be if Ohio State wins out. If you have a close game between the Hawkeyes and Ohio State, because here's the problem I've got with Iowa. They played Iowa State as a non-conference, which Iowa State isn't necessarily a power this year. They went down and got beat at Baylor.
They are supposed to be a power, but they have...
They've not proven it.
Wildly underperformed.
Barely beat Northern Iowa.
Mm-hmm. Well, Northern Iowa is a team that always seems to upset an FBS school every couple years.
Wisconsin, we know, is down significantly.
Very, very bad.
Iowa, here's what they have remaining. They've got Purdue at home. Then they've got at Wisconsin, at Northwestern. Terrible year right now for the Northwestern Wildcats. Then Iowa will host Minnesota and Illinois before finishing up at Nebraska. And we don't know at that point how big that Nebraska game will be. That could be a significant game by the time it rolls around at the end of the season. That's a pretty soft schedule for a number two team in the country.
Yeah, and Nebraska, their record is 3-4, but reality is they played several close games. In fact, every loss has been by 8 points or less. So, I mean, for whatever reason, Scott Frost and Nebraska continue to lose very close football games. I think that situation will take care of itself, whether that's in the Big Ten title game or before. Would not surprise me if it's before. They're going to be down one of their top defensive players this week and could be for a while. Purdue has actually upset Iowa in past seasons. I mean, don't put it past Purdue. They're going to get some guys healthy. David Bell should be back. Payne Durham should be back. Not quite yet on Xander Horvath at running back, but he should be back soon. Not this Saturday, but hopefully the following week. And so don't discount the Boilers. Don't discount the Hoosiers either against Michigan State. You know, I think it's great that the Big Ten has, what is it, five teams in the top 10 of the AP poll.
I think they've got five in the top nine.
Five, yeah. So, but the reality to me is Penn State and Ohio State are the two legitimate teams. Michigan State, Iowa, they benefited from the schedule and, you know, some of the teams expected to be good, not being very good. Like we mentioned, Iowa State has been underwhelming. Miami, who Michigan State played, has been awful. Michigan just really hasn't played anyone of substance outside of Nebraska.
Yeah, I mean you look at it, though, you think at Wisconsin would be a tough challenge for Michigan. At Nebraska would be a challenge, but
not this year.
Not as much. But here's the thing with Iowa. Teams they don't play because of the East-West breakdown. Iowa does not play Ohio State, Michigan, or Michigan State. They just had the Penn State game, which they won, but they avoid a lot of the most powerful teams from the East. So it's been a real advantage for Iowa. Teams from the East that they play, they played Maryland and they played Indiana. Purdue actually is part of the West, but it's just an easy schedule from here on out for Iowa. At Wisconsin, at Northwestern, Minnesota and Illinois at home, and at Nebraska to finish up the regular season. Now, the only thing for Purdue, when you talk about the chances for Purdue pull the upset, is if Iowa, who had that emotional win over Penn State last week, everybody, you know, flooded the field and you had, the storming of the field after the game. That was great. It was emotional, exciting, and Iowa probably figures that's their signature win. And then next week is the bye. And if Iowa is kind of coasting into the bye week, you know, thinking about the week off and not really thinking about Purdue and taking the Boilermakers for granted, that's when Purdue can jump up and maybe make this a game. But I don't know. If it was at Purdue, I would maybe say high upset alert.
Yeah, if it was at Purdue, I'd pick Purdue in this game. But because Iowa has the game at home, I still like the Hawkeyes. I'm just saying, don't be surprised if this is closer than you think. This is an Iowa team that's outside of IU. I mean, they're not blowing teams out of the water. Now, Maryland was blown out, but that was due to Maryland having, what is it, like six interceptions or something in that game? I mean, it was
absurd. That game was over by halftime.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is a Boiler team. If they play their cards right, and part of that is the odd management of the quarterback situation by Jeff Brohm. I mean, to me, Jack Plummer should be the guy, no question, when you look at the statistical breakdown, and yet there seems to be a quarterback battle, so to speak.
I am checking some of the lines. Indiana right now getting 4.5 points against Michigan State. You like that, Caleb?
Yeah.
Take the 4.5. I got to try to find Purdue, Iowa. Here it is. Purdue gets 11.5 against the Hawkeyes. Are you buying both Indiana and Purdue this week?
I think they can both play close. So, to me, I'm borderline going to pick IU to win against Michigan State. I really think part of the problems with the Hoosiers has just been Penix has just been tentative since coming back from an injury, which is, again, to be expected, but he's just never found a rhythm. Whereas Jack Tuttle can come in, he's played, he's experienced, he's talented, he can come in, maybe this offense can get some life again.
46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. By the way, looking at lines coming up this weekend, here's an interesting one. You know, Kentucky's ranked as a top 10 team. They're playing at Georgia this week. Want to take a guess at the line?
16.5.
21.5.
Whoa.
More than three touchdowns and if you take Kentucky.
Is it at Georgia, though?
It's at Georgia. Okay. It's in Athens. But the over-under is only 44.5, which means they expect Kentucky to really struggle to score against that Georgia defense. And that's been the case for about everybody.
Everyone has struggled to score against that defense.
So 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Coach D, Kevin Donnelly, is going to be joining us coming up in just a couple of minutes. Back on the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6, Brett Rupp, Caleb Hatch. And joining us, as he does each week at this time on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline, St. Francis Cougars football coach, Coach D, Kevin Donnelly. Oh, it's got to feel a little bit better, Coach, this week.
Oh, it sure does. nothing like a good W.
68-0, the final over Madonna at Bishop Darcy Stadium on Saturday. And, you know, I think certain things you look for from your football team, number one, being prepared to come out and play. Number two, being the more physical team at the line of scrimmage. You really were able to establish the running game early and dominate physically. That really gave you control of the game right from the start.
Yeah, it sure did. I thought we controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. Got played a lot of guys. I mean, I think we played about 70 kids. So bodies were fresh, and guys that got in later in the game were anxious to show their stuff, and some of them did very, very well.
Big win considering the schedule. Of course, Marion coming up this Saturday. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But, you know, this is something you kind of needed. You kind of needed to get a refresh after a couple of tough weeks. How important was this to the psyche of the football program?
Yeah, it was huge. I mean, you know, we're normal human beings, and you know, you work so hard and you stub your toe and you fall down, you got to get back up and you got to get refocused and you got to work hard in order to continue to improve. And our kids have done that. Again, we're very young. Saturday may have been the first team we've played that the average age may have been close. So they're a young team and, you know, they're going to get better too. They got some guys, got some transfers, but just haven't put it all together yet. I'm glad they didn't this weekend. So,
what did it mean to have Will Holman back?
Well, you know, he's a tremendous person as well as a good football player. Mm-hmm. Will always has that smile on his face and very positive, and he just feeds that positive electricity throughout the team. And he came back and was ready to roll. Cam Peterson started the game, did very well. And then Will came in and ran for one and caught one. And I don't know, maybe had three, I don't know, but did very well. And then he came up right before the half. He says, okay, I'm done. My ankle's starting to bother me again. So we iced him down, and hopefully he'll be ready to go this week.
What about the quarterback, Heath Simmons? It looks like 13 of 22, 205. Touchdown, no picks, didn't get sacked. Looks like basically a pretty decent effort from the quarterback. What'd you think of Heath's performance Saturday?
You know, Heath is solid. He has a great understanding of the game, knows where to go with the football. He's not going to outrun many people, but if he gets time to get the ball off, we get good protection, he's dangerous. Our line protected very, very well. We cut down. We simplified. Playlist was a little smaller than usual. Really worked on execution and eliminating mental errors, which we made a lot of the two previous weeks. So that worked out. We're going to try to stick to that formula.
What about defensively? What stood out for you as far as your defensive side of the football and what they were able to do in pitching the shutout?
Well, again, dominating the line of scrimmage. A.J. Moore, the freshman, is just an outstanding football player. And Dakari Jones at the other end is another outstanding football player. Kyle Miazga has been nursing an injury, but he came back this week and did well. And hopefully he's going to stay healthy and go this week. And young man named Schwartz-Snyder, high school product, playing nose man for us. And we found another one this weekend. Guy that's been playing defensive end, we put him at nose, Connor Price. And the guy's got a 4-0, so I didn't think he could be that good of a football player. he really is. He's smart to be the coach, anyway. I know that. But, he had some big hits. He got the big hit award of the game, and what a great kid. And, you know, playing well at the second level. Walsh is just an outstanding linebacker. And secondary kept everything in front. We got some picks. Had a pick six as well. So had one freshman, Springfield is his name. Got in his first college play, had a pick six. So welcome to college football.
Absolutely. All right, Coach, let's talk about it this week. It's become quite the rivalry, Marion and St. Francis. What do you know about Marion? What are some of the concerns? What are the things you need to be prepared for?
Well, they're always going to be physical. They always have great talent. They always have great athletes. They lost their first game of the year to Tiffin University, which I believe is still undefeated in Division II. Then they run a win streak there. And then last week, Indiana Wesleyan just waylaid them. I mean, it was like 41-0, 4 minutes to go in the game before Marion scored. And I thought it would be a close game because I think both teams are outstanding football teams. But I was just kind of shocked at that. Of course, I'm sure they're going to rebound strong this week and get ready for us. So, you know, we're going to have a challenge.
Always fun when the two teams get together. Best of luck this weekend, Coach. On the road, look forward to seeing you back at Bishop Darcy Stadium and pick up a win on the road this week.
Thanks, Brett.
That is Coach D, Kevin Donnelly, joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline, does every week at this time to talk St. Francis Cougars football. Cougars at Marion, 6 o'clock kickoff coming up this Saturday. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Time to make some picks. It's you pick 'em. Caleb and I will tell you who we like this week in the NFL coming up next right here on the Sports Rush. And before we go to break, I'm going to go ahead and give away a pair of tickets. How's that? Not even going to go to commercial. We're going to give away tickets right now. Joe Bonamassa, he is coming to the Embassy Theater coming up later this month, October 27th. And we have two tickets you can win right now at 447-8500, 447-8500, 447-8500. Caller number three picks up two tickets to Joe Bonamassa at the Embassy Theater. Call now if you'd like to win with the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Having some fun talking about old TV shows that maybe you watched and maybe were even big hits when you were younger, but if they debuted on TV today, would they be complete flops? Give us a TV show, 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. All right, so it is week number 6 already in the NFL. I felt like I was making a rebound last week, Caleb. I felt like I was making a charge. And then the Colts happened. I was feeling so good about making that pick.
You picked them to win every game. And you're 1-4 in those picks so far.
I actually did not pick them to win every game. I picked them to lose to Tennessee.
Okay.
Because they were so banged up. And we didn't know if Carson Wentz was going to play
true.
At the
That's
time
true.
We made our pick. So I actually did take them to lose because I was afraid it was going to be a backup quarterback. But, yeah, it hasn't been so good so far for me and my Colts picks. We'll see what I do this week. I have a pretty good hunch I'm going to be taking the Colts over the Texans. But let's start with Thursday night football. Tampa Bay Buccaneers going into Philadelphia. You know it's going to be a raucous crowd. It's going to be an insane crowd and atmosphere in Philadelphia. That might help the Eagles, but it's not going to be enough for the Eagles to win this game. I've got Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I got Tampa Bay. I did see a stat, though, that the Bucs, I believe, have a great rushing defense, but a terrible passing defense. I think this will probably be closer than people expect, but I do like the Bucks.
I just, you know, it's, you got a terrible pass defense, but you got Jalen Hurts, who's like a 55% passer. I don't think Philadelphia takes advantage. Miami, Jacksonville. Somebody will win this football game. It's over in London. I'm going to say it, Caleb. Give me Trevor Lawrence.
I also picked the Jaguars in this game.
Jacksonville.
Yeah. Tua's back at practice. We could see another change at quarterback with Miami. I think Jacksonville's due for a win. They played close against Cincy the other week. I think the Jags get it done in London.
Kansas City invades Washington to take on the football team. Of course, the story in Washington, not the Chiefs. The story in Washington, the emails. I'm going to go with Kansas City. At some point, right, Kansas City's got to get this thing on track. 2-3, they have to win this game, especially the way that the Chargers are playing. So I'm going to take the Chiefs on the road.
I'm taking the Chiefs. However, the Chiefs aren't a very good football team, and I think it's time more and more people talk about it. It's not just that the schedule's been tough. It's that the defense is
the secondary,
absolutely
though, again,
atrocious.
It's the secondary, and it's like, okay, I believe Taylor Heineke is going to be the guy to take advantage of that? It's the same situation as Jalen Hurts against a weak defense for Tampa Bay. So I've got to go with Kansas City.
Yeah, again, I like the Chiefs, but the defense for the Chiefs is just awful, and I think they'll luck out because their offense is so good. In this matchup, they should be fine.
Saquon Barkley had an ankle that looked like a basketball last week. I don't know if he's going to be back playing. Did they give an official report on Barkley? It's not going to matter. The Rams are in New York to take on the Giants. I think the Rams make it 5-1. I'll take Los Angeles.
Yeah, I like the Rams, and Saquon Barkley did not practice Wednesday. So that's the update. They'll have a better idea tomorrow.
They showed that ankle on the sideline. It was blown up when he... of course, they showed that replay numerous times, stepping on the back of the foot and just twisting over it. It was not a pretty sight. Texans, Colts. No commentary needed. I take the Colts.
Yeah, I'm taking the Colts. Carson Wentz had a great game on Monday night. Unfortunately, the Colts' defense folded. This is a game the Colts should win. They have to win if they have any hope of making the playoffs.
Here we go again, Lions fans. We're going to have a game that's winnable, that might be close down the stretch, and somehow, some way, I have confidence you will find a way to lose. It's the Bengals and the Lions in Detroit. I got to go with Cincinnati.
I like Cincinnati. I think people are kind of underrating Cincinnati. I mean, again, like I said earlier in the show, they're not a playoff team, but this is a team that should win 6, 7, 8, maybe even 9 games this year.
Green Bay, Chicago, one of the oldest rivalries in the NFL. Caleb, I'm going to give you either a chance to make up some ground. Well, you don't really need to make up ground because you're ahead. I'm going to make up some ground. The Chicago Bears defense will be the difference. They will be pressuring Aaron Rodgers all day long. The Bears will be able to run the football, keeping this game somewhere in the 20s. Justin Fields starts to become a star in Chicago this weekend. Bears over the Packers.
Wow, bold pick. I mean, Fields is what, 2-1 as a starter? I got to go with the Acme Packers, though. They will get it done on Sunday.
Los Angeles Chargers at Baltimore. Oh, my. What a matchup this is going to be with Justin Herbert against Lamar Jackson. Baltimore's had a tough schedule. We talk about the Colts schedule. Baltimore's played Kansas City, Colts.
Buffalo.
Buffalo. I mean, they've got a tough schedule here early. But I'm going to go with Baltimore. That long trip across the country, I just think Baltimore is going to find a way to win at home, so I go with the Ravens.
I'm going to go with the Chargers. I get that Justin Herbert's kind of the quarterback flavor of the month or flavor of the week right now, but I just think any competent team defeats Baltimore, doesn't fold like the Colts did. I think the Chargers are for real. I think the Chargers and Buffalo are the two best teams in the AFC.
I mean, you make a great point. This pick scares me, and the one reason it really scares me is Carson Wentz threw for 400 yards against that Baltimore defense.
Yeah.
What is Justin Herbert going to throw?
A quarterback who has a competent offensive line and great receivers.
And can sling it deep down the field. All right, let's go to the next one. Minnesota, Carolina. The Panthers get the return of Christian McCaffrey. And I think that'll be enough for Carolina to defeat Minnesota.
Yeah, my NFC South division winner pick in the preseason. I have to go with the Panthers here.
Cleveland is hosting Arizona. Cardinals, they're the last lone unbeaten, aren't they? They're the only
Correct.
Ones. And the Miami Dolphins, I wonder if they've even chilled the champagne, the 72 Dolphins. You know, they always have that champagne when the last unbeaten goes down. Usually it's like week 8, week 9. Hey, it's going down Sunday. The city on the lake, the mistake on the lake, Cleveland. It's going to be the Browns beating the Cardinals. You heard it here first, Cleveland over Arizona.
I also am picking the Browns.
What?
They've had a couple of close losses on the season. Baker Mayfield, after a couple of tough weeks, he played really well last week. His completion percentage was way up after it was hovering around 50%. I think Cleveland gets it done Sunday.
I thought I had a couple of picks that you definitely would.
like the Jacksonville one?
Yeah, I thought Jacksonville,
They're
Chicago, Cleveland, and, you know, Chicago, you stayed against me and took the Packers. But, all right, let's go to the Las Vegas Raiders visiting Denver to take on the Broncos. Your guess is good as mine. I really don't know what to think of this game. I have no idea how the Raiders respond to the exit of John Gruden, the parting of the ways between John Gruden and the Raiders. Is it Drew Lock this week? Bridgewater out. I know Bridgewater was hurt. I'm really torn on this one. I think that the Raiders are going to win this football game. You know, Denver hasn't proven to me they can beat really good teams, and I think the Raiders aren't an elite team, but I think they're good enough. And so I'm going to take the Raiders to win this one on the road.
I, too, also am picking the Raiders simply because Denver's 3-2 record looks good on paper, but
three winless teams, I think.
It was like, I have no faith in the Broncos. And for Vegas, you talk about losing your coach. I don't think this really impacts the team a whole lot, to be honest. I think they'll be fine.
Dallas, New England. Got to go with the Cowboys.
Yeah, the Cowboys, Dak Prescott's having a monster year. Ezekiel Elliott is having more of the numbers people would expect. Cowboys offense looks good. Cowboys defense looks even better. Big D will get it done in New England.
Buffalo is rolling, and they roll into Tennessee. This would be a big one for the Colts because they need somebody to beat Tennessee while the Colts are having their struggles. And this is just the kind of opponent that could do it. With Josh Allen, Buffalo's defense has been really good. And I think the combination, because that's the key, I think. When you go against Tennessee, you got to be able to stop the run. And so I'm going to go with Buffalo to win on the road in Nashville.
Yeah, I like Buffalo in this one. A.J. Brown was out last week. Julio Jones also out. Looking like Julio might play this week. He was back at practice today. But still, I think the Bills are just one of the best teams in the league. I think they get it done on the road.
So the final game we have to pick is the Sunday night thriller with Seattle at Pittsburgh. And we have to pick the score of this one. It's a terrible game to pick right now because there's so many question marks with each of these teams. Seattle making a long trip. Of course, Pete Carroll likes to go out an extra day early. I think that helps Seattle. Big Ben, do you get the good Ben or the bad Ben? I'm going to go a close game. I'm going to say Seattle wins it 27-24.
I have Pittsburgh winning it 27-20.
Close.
But I honestly have no idea what to expect with the Steelers on a week-to-week basis. They're a team I simply cannot figure out.
Still got to try to figure out what I'm doing about a survivor pick this week.
I am going with the LA Rams against the New York Football Giants.
And I am going to go with, boy, this is tough. Because a lot of the teams I don't have, see, I can't pick the Rams. I already used them as one of my picks. And since I have so many picks that are long shots, I don't want to use it as my survivor. So I gotta go. I don't have many choices here, actually. I guess Carolina. And it's not because I feel so confident in Carolina. It's that because the games I have confidence in, I've already used those teams, so I can't really go through and use it on those games. There you go. That's our NFL You Pick 'Em for week number 6. You can make your pick simply by logging on to 1380thefan.com. It is free to play. It takes just a couple of minutes to get registered, and you can win weekly prizes. Plus, you could qualify to win our grand prize, 2 tickets to the home opener for the Indianapolis Colts next season. Play right now at 1380thefan.com. So it is the final week of the regular season high school football. And, of course, 3 unbeatens in our area. The Bishop Lewers Knights try to make it a perfect 9-0 in the SAC. I said before the season, Caleb, that nobody would run a clean slate all the way through the conference. There was enough parity that nobody was going 9-0. I've got my high school football picks of the week coming up tomorrow, so I'm not going to give away who I'm taking in this one, but I think this will be the greatest challenge of the season for Bishop Lewers. They've been tested 2 or 3 times. They've always had that one play that gave them an opportunity to win. Remember Homestead. That is a game that Lewers should have lost. I think this is the toughest test for Lewers because they're undersized at the line of scrimmage. They've been able to get away with it against a number of teams around the conference, but can you get away with it against Snyder, who likes to really pound the football? They use double tight end sets. I think it's going to be a challenge for Bishop Lewers to play both ways, to physically keep up with Snyder, and I think the fourth quarter might decide this football game, and he might be dealing with a little bit of a fatigued Bishop Lewers squad. They've shown all year that they don't wear out, even though a lot of them play both offense and defense. But this is going to be a challenge for Bishop Lewers this week and a challenge for the Knights to claim the undisputed, untied SAC championship with a victory over the Snyder Panthers. Now, the other two teams that are unbeaten, I think, will cruise this week. Leo is at DeKalb. The Lions should roll over the Barons. And the only thing that could affect Leo is if they look ahead. They've got East Noble, that first round of the sectional, the following week. But I still think Leo is just so much better right now than DeKalb that the Lions will win, even if they aren't fully mentally prepared for the Barons. And the final game, Angola Eastside. The Blazers come in with an 8-0 record. It's been a down year for the Hornets. I don't think the Hornets are going to be able to compete with Eastside, especially with this game being played up in Butler. So I've got Eastside to win. Now, one thing to think about coming up this Friday is rain and what impact it could have on games that are being played on regular grass surfaces. We've got a number of area football fields that could be messy, to say the least. You know, last week we were up at Eastside, and Eastside had grass that was like 6-7 inches long from the numbers all the way to the sideline because they couldn't cut the grass. It had stayed too damp and was too wet for them to be able to cut and get the grass trimmed down last week. And so it was very long in their game against Central Noble. But weather, if we have the showers and possible thunderstorms through the day on Friday and rain continues into Friday night, what will the fields be like? That could actually play into these games, maybe keep some games closer, especially teams that rely a lot on the passing attack. But I still think when you look at the matchup, and one of the matchups I'm thinking about is Carroll Wayne, but that's going to be on a turf surface. And so the ball might get a little slippery. It might be a little more difficult to throw. Wayne, of course, got a solid rushing attack, but I still think Carroll finds a way to win. I don't think Carroll has to be on upset alert. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. 416-870-4662. Coming up tonight, we've got Purdue and Indiana coaches right back on the airwaves after the bye week. They were off last Wednesday, but both are back tonight, 6:05. We've got the Jeff Brohm Show, and then Inside IU Football with Tom Allen, 7:05, right after the Jeff Brohm Show. Then we'll be joining Pacers basketball. They go against the Memphis Grizzlies tonight, preseason action down at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Hey, this is pretty cool, too. John Conchar playing for Memphis tonight back in the state of Indiana. So Mark Boyle will have your play-by-play coverage right here tonight on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. That will do it for our show today. Big thanks to you for joining in on the text line. Appreciate all the responses. Also, thanks to our guest, Justin Kinney from OPS and OutsideTheHuddle.net, and the coach, Kevin Donnelly from St. Francis. For Caleb Hatch, I'm Brett Rump. Thanks for listening to The Sports Rush.
Podcasts by Federated Media.